the state of golf in the province of Ontario. And for that, we turn to our friend Adam Stanley, covering golf for Sportsnet and the Toronto Star, and Dr. Isaac Bogosh, who is an infectious diseases physician and scientist. Gentlemen, it's good to have you on the program. Before we hear from you, let's hear from Premier Doug Ford yesterday on if and when golf is going to reopen in the province.
I talk to my buddies. I know what happens. You know, they pick up another buddy, two or three, they go out, go golf, and then there's nothing wrong with golfing. The problem is the mobility. Then after golf, they go back, they have a few pops. That's the problem. So that's the issue. And what we need, we're just asking people. I understand, believe me, the weather's nice. Everyone wants to get out. You know, I'd love to get out golfing. I'm a terrible golfer, but I'd love to get out golfing. And, right now, the ICUs are still at risk. I think yesterday's number was 805, and that's not good. As much as we're seeing a decline, which is good, everyone, you know, is moving forward. We're getting the vaccines into people's arms, but we just can't risk it. Just hang in there we aren't asking a lot. Just a couple more weeks, and we'll do everything we can to get things back to normal.
Dr. Bogosh, we'll start with you because your time is more limited with us than Adam's is. The notion of mobility being at the core of the argument against reopening golf courses, what is the scientific basis and fact of that statement and belief in and of itself?
Okay, you know how multiple things can be... So wait, let me rewind. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
You guys. Thanks for having
Great
me on.
Great to have
good
you
morning.
On, yes. We'll do the medial cordial stuff, and then we'll jump right into it. There you go.
It's all good. It's all good. Secondly, you know how multiple things can be true? So point one that's true, the risk of outdoor transmission, like getting COVID outdoors, specifically playing golf, is like negligible, right? Like no one's going to get this infection playing golf, right? It's outdoors. You can separate by 2 meters easily. It's about as safe as it gets. I don't think there's many people that would argue with that. That is a true and accurate statement. The second point is mobility. And in general, mobility is a proxy for the spread of infectious diseases. We know when you reduce mobility, you reduce transmission of communicable diseases. And that's at the international level, that's at the national level, that's at the provincial level, and that's at the regional level. Having said all that, are we going to have an explosion of COVID-19 and super spreading events if you opened up something like golf courses or tennis courses or anything like that? No, you're not. You're not. I mean, you can still have other restrictions in place and measures in place to curb transmission, which we know occurs in indoor settings. So, for example, if people went and traveled to a golf course in separate vehicles, they're not going to be breathing the same air indoors. And they're not going to, if one person's infected, they're not going to transmit it to the other. So, I mean, like, the other thing, too, and not to blabber on and on, but the other thing, too, is you can't just restrict. You've got to give people something to do. You've got to give people safe alternatives for recreation and other things so people can meet their unmet needs. And this is one of them. And I mean, yeah, of course, not everything is going to be 100% perfect, but it shouldn't be, and it doesn't have to be. So when we put it all together, my answer and my thought process is, you know, as tough as it is, I think they made the right move by extending the stay-at-home order. I really do. I mean, it stinks, but it was the right move. But on the other hand, in the same breath, I would open up everything outside because we know it's safe and it can be done safely and it's not going to significantly contribute to any meaningful viral transmission.
Yeah, and I'm up for the shutdowns, but I've said this right from the start last year to Scotty. It's either shut everything down or you got to open things up. And once we start shutting just golf or just tennis or just the courts or just out bike riding or the parks at one point, I was going for runs downtown. Those were even shut down. Mount Pleasant Cemetery was somewhere a lot of people used to exercise. That was shut down at one point. But the thing about it was that all these after round I don't know how for what do you say pops with your friends. I've seen it, but it's outside. And Adam, you can jump in after this and what you've seen at golf courses, but is that a problem if you sit around in a parking lot spaced out with your friends? I know you said there's no transmission playing golf, but how about post round? Because I've seen it with some of my friends last summer, and I've seen it with other groups when they're done.
Dr. Bogosh, you first.
Yeah. So no, for example, just think about it. Let's talk golf specifically. And this is embarrassing because I'm the world's worst golfer. And full disclosure, I go golfing once, perhaps every year with my uncle and embarrass myself horribly. But here's my take. If the clubhouse has, is closed and you're not going to be cramming people into an indoor setting and people are outdoors, like truly outdoors, nothing's going to happen. If you're outside and you're separated by a couple of meters, nothing's going to happen. Whether you're golfing, whether you're socializing, it's safe. It's safe. Nothing is going to happen. So I have no issue with that. Even if you do have, five or six people who are outside in the parking lot, sitting on a lawn chair, grabbing a pop. who cares?
Adam.
It's some really interesting stuff there from the good doctor. And, regardless of whether people are getting together to have, lift a couple tins in the parking lot or whatever they may be doing, what the data is showing us, and it's just there was 26 million rounds of golf played in Ontario last year, tracked by the governing bodies for the sport in this province. 26 million rounds. There was not a single transmission of COVID-19 traced back to a golf facility. So, Doug Ford comes out, says his little folksy statement about, his buddies having pops, et cetera, et cetera. But regardless of whether that's happening or not, and I didn't see it, but I'm sure, if he's leaning on personal experience or whomever is telling him what they've been doing at a golf course, then that's fine. I'm sure it's happening across the province. People, when it's a 30-degree day, if they can't have a beer inside the clubhouse, they're probably going to crack a tin in the clubhouse and, talk about how they played, whether it was poorly or good. So even if that was happening, the fact of the matter is there was no COVID-19 cases traced back to a golf facility last year when record-breaking numbers of rounds were played. So the issue from the golf industry, certainly from people who I spoke with yesterday, is the comparative side of things. You're comparing golf, 250 acres. The first thing that you learn when you learn the game of golf is not to stand within 6 feet of the person swinging the golf club. So there's no reason to be close to somebody. And here we are still a year and a bit into this pandemic, and it's like golf is being compared to the inside stuff. Or when you look at farmers markets, or when you look at walking trails, or when you look at basically anything that is allowed to be open, tighter space, tighter quarters of people, even on the outside side of things, that's where the golf industry is starting to get very, very frustrated.
Well, yeah, and I think Active TO is a prime example of that, right? I mean, they shut down the lakeshore around the exhibition grounds, and it's good for people to get out and walk and ride their bikes. I'm not arguing against it. What I'm saying is more people are closer together in that environment than they are on golf courses. And that's where things just don't seem to line up. While we have you here, Dr. Bogosh, and then we'll have you stick around, Adam, get back into the golf. I mean, from your expert perspective, this is a general question right now. Where are we in this city and in this province in the third wave of this pandemic? And is there any kind of optimism you can throw our way?
Oh, yeah. So let's do the second part first. Very optimistic, lots of optimism. And then to the first part of the question, here's why. We are clearly on the right path. Okay, we're actually kind of not as far as we would have thought we are from the end, but we are clearly on the right path. Number one, the cases are coming down. They're coming down slowly, but they're coming down. And by any metric, the number of new cases per day, the 7-day average, the percent of tests that are positive, they are all headed in the right direction. Number two, the hospitals are slowly being decompressed. If you look at the number of patients in the ICUs, which were packed only a couple of weeks ago, it is slowly getting better. They are still packed. We are not there yet. It is not time to open the floodgates. But the numbers are slowly headed in the right direction. We're still in a precarious place, but we're getting a little bit better. That you can't ignore that. And then number three, vaccines. Vaccines are rolling out at a pace that is faster than ever before. Okay, week after week, well over 100,000 people per day are getting vaccinated in the province. Some days we top 140,000 people per day. In the city of Toronto, about 50% of eligible adults have received a vaccine. By the end of this month, in the province of Ontario, we should have at least a first dose of a vaccine in over 65% of eligible adults. This is going to help tremendously. You don't have to look too far to see what happens when you get to this level. Look at Israel, look at the United States, look at the United Kingdom. Once you start to reach between 50 to 60% of your population with at least a first dose, coupled with some of the measures that we have in place, cases plummet. So the pace of new cases going down is much faster. So putting this all together, what does this mean? Number one, we're headed in the right direction. Number two, we're not where we need to be just yet, but things are going to improve very, very quickly. Number three, like summer should be good. Like summer should be good. It's not going to be a 2019 summer. Sorry, it's not going to be a 2020 summer. It's going to be better. Should be better than a 2020 summer. It's not going to be 2019, but it should be better than a 2020 summer.
Oh, that's good to hear. We know you got to run, and we thank you so much for your time, Dr. Isaac Bogosh. Be well. We'll call on you again.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys.
Dr. Bogosh is an infectious diseases physician and scientist. Adam Stanley, covering golf for Sportsnet and the Toronto Star, holds on the line here. So, Adam, what's your understanding? I mean, you've expressed in your previous point the frustration of some of golf's major mm-hmm. stakeholders in this province. What is your sense of their next steps and what action they may take? I mean, obviously, a few weekends ago, we saw the actions of the bridges at Tillsonburg. That was brief. And in a lot of corners, people were saying, wow, okay, that's ballsy. But also, is that appropriate? There is strength in numbers. What can or maybe should we be anticipating in terms of pushback here? Louder pushback than what's going on behind the scenes.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good question. And a very quick shout out to Dr. Bogosh there, because that was an absolute masterclass in data and information and positivity. And it was great. It was great to listen to. So I think what's happening now from a golf industry perspective is from a lobbying standpoint, it's taking a step back, because clearly the meetings that they had, which were good meetings, they were the meetings that needed to happen with the right people, the tennis folks, you know, the basketball folks, the baseball folks. They're not getting into the meetings with the Solicitor General, with the Premier's office itself, the Minister of Health, the Minister of Sport. Golf is. So those were good meetings that just didn't end up resulting in what they wanted. So now it's a bit of a, okay, what is our new strategy? They still need to have those meetings. They still need to show that there is some kind of give and take, although the government has been taking and not so much on the giving. But you know, the Golf Ontario is still an official provincial organization. So there does need to be some kind of, well, we got to take the high road ever so slightly. So what's going to happen from a golf course perspective? How are people going to start banging their chest and showing their frustration? I've been told that there's going to be a Zoom meeting. An invite was sent to hundreds of golf courses in southwestern Ontario for a Zoom meeting today to talk about what they could do, potentially maybe opening golf courses en masse on May the 20th, regardless of what the government was going to say. The news of that meeting was immediately struck down by Golf Ontario. They came out and said that they did not condone this in any way, shape, or form. But at the end of the day, the golf courses are small businesses. They are free to do what it is that they wish. So we'll have to see what comes from this meeting today and what golf courses may end up doing, maybe as a bigger group versus just that singular entity, like what happened with the bridges at Tillsonburg.
How about if a company like Clublink comes to the table and joins the party? Because I feel like they've been silent through all this, and I don't know where they're at. Like, what happens if members start, you know, like, are if you paid for a membership this year, are golfers and people asking for part of their membership fees back? Like, I think that would change something with a lot of the private courses if all of a sudden ClubLink members were saying, okay, I want 20% of my yearly dues back. Would that force ClubLink to kind of get involved? Because they've been quiet through all this. And I feel like they have the most, like, don't they have the most golf courses in Ontario?
Them and Golf North, they go back and forth a little bit on who is the biggest golf course operator in the country. But it's a great question, and I will say that is definitely something that is being talked about amongst the private clubs in this situation. Obviously, the public golf courses, different entities, a lot of them are small businesses. A lot of them are owned by, you know, families, and they're really struggling. One public golf course told me that they're losing about $10,000 a day in green fee revenue not being open right now. So obviously a big impact on the public golf course side of things. From a private golf course side of things, I talked to about five or six friends of mine who are members at clubs. There haven't been any discussions yet about starting to prorate their dues for this year, but you've got to think that some of the managerial staff are thinking about that, because you're looking at the full month of May with no golf. So that's, you know, whether it be a quarter or a fifth or a sixth of the year is totally gone. They're not going to play. So absolutely, if there's more of a groundswell of members saying, hey, we want a chunk of our money back, then all of a sudden the private golf courses are also starting to feel the heat, because they're not getting food and beverage revenue at all right now either. And then if their memberships are starting to say, hey, we want our golf money back too, you know, that's a big, that's going to be a big impactful thing, that all of a sudden you've got public courses losing money and private courses losing money. So they're both going to be able to have a bit of a louder voice.
All right, we'll try to end this on a positive note here and talk about the AT&T Byron Nelson. I don't want to discuss that Ontario is the only state or province in the world where golf is not allowed right now.
I don't want to mention it, but I'll mention it.
It is the only in the world. So whoever has a problem with everyone talking about it, it's the only place in the world. 2021 AT&T Byron Nelson. Jordan Spieth went low with a 63. He made a 55 footer for eagle. The one par five, he was 250 out. I thought he should have laid up as well. He ends up hitting a 3-wood to 10 feet over a creek. He had a little bit of everything. He had a chunked chip on a drivable par four. What did you see out of him, and what are your thoughts from the Byron Nelson so far?
I saw a little bit of everything out of him, and I think that's why people tune in and get so excited to watch Jordan Spieth and when he's starting to climb a leaderboard. So, you know, it's interesting. This field is certainly very top heavy. You know, you've got three of the top 10, I think, in the FedEx Cup. You know, Dustin Johnson, number one in the world, was supposed to play. Of course, he pulled out earlier this week with a knee thing. But anytime Jordan Spieth in the field, it's going to inspire people to want to tune in and watch. And Jordan Spieth absolutely delivered right on the heels of another major championship coming up next week. Of course, Jordan won, I believe, in Texas as well the week prior to the Masters. And here we are, another event the week prior to a major in Texas, and maybe Jordan Spieth will do it again. But, you know, just like Rory last weekend, Rory McIlroy winning, that's good for the game. Jordan Spieth playing good golf is also really, really good for the game. Love to see it. It was super fun to watch. It was crazy. You kind of just like shake your head at the whole thing, how his round unfolded. But yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
Well, Adam, you don't know this. Neither does Ziggy at this point. But Ziggy and I are going to Hawaii next week for a full week of shows in the lead up to the PGA Championship. So,
oh, good.
We thought we'd invite you, but then, you know, we thought, oh, we got to, you know, keep it socially distanced. So we'll, let's just say this. We'll have you on the phone. We'll have you on the phone multiple times next week to tee up the tournament when he and I are live from Hawaii, baby.
I think they have golf there.